Nicholas, can you give us a little background about yourself?
Sure. I built my first website in 1997, started marketing on the internet in 1998.
What was your first website?
It was a race, like a triathlon.
Are you a triathlete?
I used to be.
Oh, really? How many have you done?
Probably about 20.
You've done 20 triathlons?
Yep.
And what was the reason for building your first website?
I was in a club, and that club was putting on a triathlon race, and then I needed to do the website and then also recruit athletes to come do it.
And had you had website experience back then?
No, that was my first one.
Where did you get your education, even with your first website?
Just from books and talking to people and a lot of practice.
So what was the purpose of that first website, and how did it go?
The purpose was to give information about the triathlon and then to also recruit athletes that will participate in it. And it went really well. We were able to do the race a number of years in succession. Having a strong background in computer programming and especially the languages used on the internet, I started a web hosting company in 2001. This is where I really learned marketing. I grew the company from scratch with zero customers and only a couple $100s. To a multi-million dollar business with thousands and thousands of customers.
Now, what was the name of that first company?
That was called AN Hosting.
Is that where you learned all this stuff from building that company?
Right.
How many millions of dollars did that company do?
Total, probably about $3 million. At that time, I was in contact with thousands of internet business people who had sites hosted by me. My marketing skills were also enhanced along the way by going through scores of marketing seminars, tapes, CDs, DVDs, books, and also working closely with marketing experts. In 2006, I started an internet marketing consulting service.
Why was marketing important to you? Why did you want to learn about marketing?
In order to grow the hosting company and also keep more existing clients and make more revenue off the clients. As the market got more and more competitive with the hosting market really did, I had to keep improving my marketing skills equally well.
So you invested in courses on marketing?
Right.
And were they a big help to you?
Yep. I got a lot of ideas from them and was able to apply them.
Okay. So why did you create the Guerrilla Internet Marketing Home Study course?
Every internet marketing course, book, or seminar I came across either briefly touched on the how-to of internet marketing, gave information on one specific area that didn't pertain to my business, was written by someone without a vast background on the web, or was seriously outdated. Frustrated that I could never find any good internet marketing material, I created the Guerrilla Internet Marketing Home Study course. Finally, a course created by an online business owner for online business owners.
Now, you're saying an internet marketing course is different than some of the general marketing courses that you referred to when you became a marketing student?
Right. A lot of stuff you can apply to either online or offline business, but internet marketing is a completely different area. There's certain things that only apply to internet marketing.
And apply only to having an actual website.
Right.
So by having an actual website, does that allow you to grow your website business where other outside marketing for, say, brick and mortar wouldn't have an effect because it's not web related?
Right.
Yes. What is the main purpose of this course?
It's designed to give you a crash course in internet marketing and to either jumpstart your marketing campaign or supplement your existing marketing campaign through new ideas and cost-saving strategies. This course not only tells you what to do, it will describe why to do it and how to do it. I'm so confident that the information in this course is so valuable and will work for anyone that if it doesn't increase your web sales 20% in 20 days, I want you to return it for a full refund.
Well, that's a pretty bold guarantee.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that you studied before, was it more on what to do but not how to do?
Right.
And I know from being out there on the internet, there's a lot of internet marketing courses out there, but they don't give you the how-tos.
Right.
And so you're saying with your expertise in doing it yourself, you're going to give us all the secrets that no one else has revealed before?
Right.
Tell me, how did you break this thing down? What are we going to learn in this?
I'm going to take you through five topics, including guerrilla internet marketing, how you can market online with a tight budget, the hidden secrets about Google AdWords, creating an affiliate system, money-saving and conversion-boosting tips for paid online advertising, and web analytics.
Okay, great. Well, let's get into Module 1 right away. Let's get started with this. What is Module 1? Guerrilla Internet Marketing Weapons. Describe this to me.
This is how you can market online with a tight budget. I'm going to tell you what the top 25 guerrilla internet marketing weapons are and explain each one. We're also going to learn the 11 must-have items for your website and what is an autoresponder and how you should use one.
All right, so anyone who has a website should be able to implement these or has the ability with a website to implement these for their online business?
Right.
All right, well, let's take them one at a time. And the first one I see here on the list, Nicholas, is forum and message boards. Now, we've heard on the Internet about forum and message boards for a long time, but I know that there's still confusion out there in the marketplace of exactly what is a forum, describe what it is, and what is a message board. Then let's get into the guerrilla tactic. What is a forum and message board, and how do these things get all over the Internet, and why are they so popular?
Those are to create discussion groups. And then it allows people to register there and post different topics or post their opinion on different topics that someone else started.
Are there lots of them on the Internet?
Yeah, there are tons out there.
How far back do forum boards go back in the Internet?
All the way back.
Even before the graphic interface?
Not that far back. Probably about the same time that e-commerce started, there were also forum and message boards out there.
Okay, so this is where a group of like-minded people with various different interests can congregate and share ideas and meet with peers who are interested in the same thing?
Right.
Would you say there's forum boards on any kind of subject imaginable?
Yep. There's one out there for everything.
So if I have a website, and I do have a website, and I don't have a forum board, how can I benefit by using this guerrilla internet marketing weapon for my website, say specifically for my hard-to-find seminar site?
This would allow more people on your website to get involved. They'd be able to interact with one another. It would keep people coming to your site more often, so they would check the new posts or check to see who responded to their own posts.
Can this increase your traffic ranking by having people come back more often?
Yeah, you'll notice a significant increase to your traffic if you have a good forum on there. One thing you got to remember is it's against net etiquette to blatantly advertise your company on someone else's forum.
But what's net etiquette?
Net etiquette is being responsible on the web and not violating net rules.
So there is a code of ethics for the Internet.
Right.
Now, you've got more people coming to the Internet for the first time than any time in history, and I would bet a lot of people have no clue about this code of ethics. So you're saying that there is a code of ethics on the Internet, and especially in these forum boards. So what is it that you can't do in a forum board?
You don't want to just post ads about your company on there, because then the forum owner or forum moderator will get mad and they'll actually ban you from their forum.
So are we talking about this forum and message boards? If I'm an internet business, are we talking about this as a guerrilla marketing tactic for me, my website owner, to have a forum board or to use other forum boards to generate interest in my website, or both?
Both. There's two ways to use it. One is to have it on your own site. The other is to post on other people's forums related to your industry. And the way to do that is make your handle represent your company name.
What's your handle?
Oh, your handle is your nickname that you register on the forum.
So anyone who comes to a forum board is going to have to enter, like, a name and a password, right?
Right.
So the guerrilla tactic, one of them is, if I wanted to sign up with a forum board, my name could be hardtofindseminars.com, right?
Right.
So that kind of gives me a little advertising, even without advertising.
Right.
All right, that's one way. What's another way?
Another way is in your signature on the forum. Whenever you post on the forum, it adds your name and a little blurb. A signature is like just as you have in your email program. It'll have your name and company name and phone number. You could have the same thing for a forum you register for.
So like in a lot of email programs, when you're sending email, a lot of people new to email and the internet don't know this, but when they send an email, every email they send out to someone as they're communicating on a daily basis, they can choose to have their name, their phone number, their address, they can have a hyperlink to their websites in their emails. So you're saying when someone posts on a forum board, they can have the same type of signature, which inadvertently could bring you new business.
Right. Another way to use these forums is to build a reputation for yourself. The best way to do that is to participate in threads started by others. Often other people have questions, and you, being an expert in your field, can answer them.
So you can pop into a forum board that you've never participated in. You can't just jump in and start advertising, or the people who are members of the forum and participate regularly, they can monitor your participation and kick out your threads. Is that correct?
Right.
So you've got to gradually include yourself as a participant, and the easiest way is to jump in on someone else's conversation and get involved.
Yep.
And then by having your signature on there and by offering expert advice, you could slowly, and not in a blatant, obvious way, let the other members know who you are, what your expertise is, and then also anything that you have to offer. But you got to ease into it, right?
Right. A note about some of the items in here. We won't go into detail about how to set everything up. If we did that, the course would probably be 100 hours long and take a year to get through. The goal of this course is to give you information on a lot of topics, let you know what's possible, what's advantageous, in order to keep you ahead of the curve. You can then, in turn, set them up with a little extra study on the topic via a third-party solution or through a programmer. Many of the items mentioned are fairly easy to set up. For example, the forum can be installed with one click in most website control panels, or you can download one free from phpb.com. There's a number of them out there. PHPBB is the most popular one.
Okay, so let me put it in simple terms. We're talking about forums, we're talking about message boards, and this could potentially scare a lot of new internet people or existing owners of websites away. So what you're saying is you don't have to be the expert to learn how to do this. You don't have to do this yourself. You're saying that there are people at websites like phpbb.com and elance.com and scriptlance.com. There are thousands of people all over the world who could simply do this for you at a low fee.
Right, exactly.
So you got to be the manager and the person who tells people what to do. You don't necessarily have to know how to do it, correct? Let's move on to guerrilla tactic number two, newsletters. What is a newsletter and what's it used for?
A newsletter is an email you send out used to keep in contact with your customers. You want to send out regular newsletters and include special offers, sales, or coupon codes in the newsletter. You can either make the emails plain text or fancy with HTML, and you want to keep stats on your mailings. How many emails were sent out, how many clicked a link, and how many people ordered. We're going to cover this in more detail in module number 5.
Okay, but the main concept here of a newsletter is to keep an ongoing relationship with your customer.
Right.
And in doing so, offering them advice, tips, letting them know that you're still out there. And sometimes consumers are so inundated with other things. They just need to see your name in front of them, and you just need to keep that contact, and that contact just reminds them that you're out there. Is that the main benefit of the newsletter?
Right.
Okay. Let's go to number 3, contest.
You want to create a contest or giveaway and then require that the person viewing your website enter in at least their name and email. When they sign up for the contest or giveaway, that's how you build your prospective customer list. And if you want a more targeted list, make sure the prize is only related to people who would be interested in your product or service. For example, if you own a pool cleaning business, don't have a contest for a free iPod. Have it for a product that only someone with a pool would need.
To simplify it, you're saying that this internet guerrilla marketing tactic, a contest, the purpose of this is to build a list. Is that correct?
Right.
So it's good business to spend some money on a good prize and let everyone enter. So you're trading money that it costs you for a good prize, whether it's an iPod or a TV or what have you, but you're trading for names. Why do we need all these names? What's so great about having names and email addresses?
Once you have your list, you'll be able to solicit them in the future with an offer.
And we can do that using guerrilla tactic number 2, newsletters?
Right.
So you can't sell anything unless you have a list.
Right.
And a very effective way you've seen in gaining a list is by using contests.
Yep.
That's a good idea. Let's move on to number 4, a members-only area. What is a members-only area? This is for a website, right?
Right. You would have a section of your website dedicated to members only, and like the contest, when they sign up to become a member, ask for at least their name and email, then you've got a mailing list. This section would be password protected, so they would need to sign up to gain access, and you'd want to give away free information or something inside that members-only area to give them incentive to become a member.
So having a members-only area, the exclusivity is what makes this work.
Right.
So you've seen this work pretty well?
Yep.
With my site, for instance, is there a simple way for me to create a members-only area, like through my control panel that I have with you?
There is. In the control panel, you'll see an icon for a password protect directory. Just click on that, and then it'll let you secure one of your directories.
Oh, I got you. And I enter a username and password,
right.
And anything I upload to that folder will be secured.
Yep.
When they click on it, will a box pop up that I can put a message in there?
Right. A gray box will pop up. You could have a message in there, and then it'll ask for their username and password.
Can I change what the message says?
Yep.
Okay. So anyone who has an existing website and they have some special content out there, with Nick's help, I'm sure, or anyone on your staff, they can help you go into your control panel, which is like the guts of your website, the operating panel, and they can create a special members area. When a visitor clicks on it, a box will pop up. It will give them instructions, or you can put an advertisement that says, this is for members only. Enter a username and password, and it allows you to collect names from people you would ordinarily not have collected.
Right.
And so the value here is to start building your list so you can use it in guerrilla marketing tactic number two, newsletters, and you can offer products and services for sale once you have that list.
Right.
Great idea. Let's do number five, spy tools. We've heard a lot about spy tools on the internet. How is spy tools a guerrilla tactic?
You want to use spy tools to monitor your competitor's activity. These are tools that someone else already created, and you just go to their website to use them. There are three spy tools that I'm going to tell you about. Now, don't worry, these are all ethical and legal tools. Number one is archive.org. This is the Wayback Machine. It's the history of what websites looked like all the way back to 1996. Use this to see what competitors have done, what they've changed on their site, what promotions they have run, and how their pricing has changed.
All right, I want to just mention something about this. When I learned about this Wayback tool, it blew me away. It was unbelievable. This thing has collected the actual web pages, downloads of websites all the way back to 1996. So when I first learned about it, I went and checked out my hardtofindseminars.com. And a lot of websites don't keep histories of their old pages. They may have content that they want to use again, but they don't remember it. And you can go click on it according to the date, and you'll see exactly what your website looked like. And when I saw my very first web page, I was blown away. So you can also copy and paste that content if you ever wanted to repackage it and use it for your updated website as well. Have you used this to research your competitors in the internet hosting market?
I have. I use that all the time.
Do you copy or get good ideas, ideas you would have never thought of?
Right. I pick up some ideas.
All right, what's the next spy tool?
Number two is the Google toolbar. The main thing you want to look for here is PageRank.
What is PageRank?
PageRank is Google's measure of the importance of a website. This is a big factor in determining what spot your site will come up in on a Google search. This takes into account how many links you have coming to your site, the page rank of those links, and if they're related sites or not. So if you have 100 links from a page rank 2 site, that might only be worth as much as one link from a page rank 7 site. Or if you have 10 links from page rank 6 sites that don't have anything to do with your field, that might be worth the same as 5 links from page rank 5 sites in your field.
Right, so Google has a representation of a popular site by page rank. What does it go? 1 to 10, 1 to 7, or what?
1 to 10.
Okay, 1 to 10. 1 being the worst, 10 being the best?
Right.
Let's say, for example, you had a competitor in the web hosting business. You want to kind of see how popular they are and how they're doing. So you would enter, say, k2hosting.com into the Google toolbar, and you would see if they have a page rank of 10. What does that tell you? It means they're really kicking butt as far as the rankings?
Yeah, 10 means it's a really popular site and they're going to show up high on the search engine.
That also may give you some intelligence that if you've got a competitor who's doing that well, you may be able to borrow and modify some of his marketing tactics, because there's a good chance that those marketing tactics is what got him to where he is at a page 10 rank, right?
Right. Google has a different page rank a lot of times for your domain with and without the www, so you want to check both of those. I'm not really sure why it's different, but a lot of times it'll be different by one or two page rank numbers.
And the current Google toolbar has this feature on it?
It does, but it's disabled by default, so you want to click on Settings, then Options, More, and check PageRank and PageInfo.
Right. How can someone get the Google toolbar if they don't have one currently?
You could download it just from google.com. It's a free download.
Is it a useful toolbar? Will it slow down my computer? Does it work with AOL? No problem.
I'm not sure if it works with AOL. I use it on Internet Explorer, and that doesn't slow it down or anything. I usually hide it in the background until I'm ready to use it, and then I enable it.
Okay, very good. What if you searched a website and it had zero page rank? What could that mean?
Zero page rank, it's probably a new site without any links coming to it.
Okay, what's tool number three, the Alexa toolbar? What is Alexa?
You get that from the site www.alexa.com, and it has the traffic ranking for every site. Not every site, but if you're making an effort to drive traffic to your site, they're probably going to have you on there.
What is traffic ranking?
Traffic rank is your rank out of all the sites, the top site having a rank of 1, and when you click on the rank in the Alexa toolbar, it takes you to a page with a lot more detail, including traffic details. Is the site getting more or less traffic? Related sites, other sites that appear to be owned by them, the number of links and what they are, contact information for the owner of the site, how long the site's been around, and even some other stuff.
So this Alexa toolbar will basically show a competitor's rank compared to all other websites in the world or the U.S.?
In the world.
In the entire world.
Right.
So if you're in the top 100,000, you're in the top 1% of all websites in the world?
Right.
Okay. How many websites are there in the world now? Do you know how fast it's growing?
There's probably hundreds of millions, if not billions, of websites now.
So this toolbar will compare your competitor site or your site to every website in the world, but it'll also show you if the site's getting more popular or less popular over a period of time that you can look at, a 5-year period, 3-year period, 1-year period, or even within the last month.
It has a graph to show you the trend that's going on.
And it also shows you links of other websites that are linking to it?
Yep.
Now, how can that be used as a research tool for somebody?
If you're looking at your competitor's site on there, look at the links they have going into them. A lot of times that'll be an affiliate of theirs, and you might also want to recruit that person as affiliate of your own site.
I got you. So you can research your competitor, find out all the other people who are promoting them, and if you want to compete against them, you can actually go to those sites that are linking to your competitor and try and solicit them to market your product or service compared to who they're currently marketing.
Right.
Good idea. These three tools are absolutely incredible. I use them all the time, and the intelligence you can gain on a competitor is staggering with these three simple tools. Let's go to Guerrilla Marketing Tactic Number 6, follow-up. What is this follow-up?
Follow-up. It's important not to lose the personal touch by doing business on the Internet. 68% of business is lost in the U.S. due to not following up with the customer after the sale. After someone orders from your website, follow up with either an email or phone call. Even if you just have an automated email follow-up, ask them how satisfied they are and if they have any questions or problems. This is also an opportunity to upsell or sell a related item and ask your client for referrals. My hosting company sends out an automated email 1 week after someone orders asking if there's anything we could help with. A lot of times there is, and if we haven't contacted the customer, they're likely not going to write in or call for help, but to opt for our 60-day money-back guarantee.
So the worst thing a website owner can do is to get a customer, sell them something, and not follow up. So we could take their name and their email address and put it into a autoresponder, which we're going to talk about later, or the newsletter, and keep in touch with them. Is that the whole point here?
Right.
And sometimes it's just a matter of getting in touch with them at the right time for additional business.
Exactly.
Now, follow-up can also mean not just online, but it can also mean follow-up outside of the online marketplace. We could send them a postcard or a letter or a magalog or something else, which works the same way, just offline.
Right.
Let's move on to number 7, frequent buyer program. What is a frequent buyer program, and how can this benefit an online marketer?
The online frequent buyer programs are similar to the offline ones, like the Subway stamp program or a point system like the airline miles for your credit card. Encourage customers to come back and give them incentives to keep buying from you. You may have heard of the 80-20 rule. It means on average 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your customers. By implementing things like follow-ups from number 6 and frequent buyer programs, you're able to get the other 80% of your customers to become higher revenue sources, just like your top 20%.
All right, let's move on to number 8, affiliate programs. I've heard a lot about affiliate programs. What is an affiliate program?
Affiliate program is a structured referral program that you want to use for people who like your product and are happy to refer other people to use it.
Can you give me an example of some huge companies who use affiliate programs?
Yeah, the biggest example is Amazon.com. When you sign up for their affiliate program, you put links to Amazon from your site or links to specific books. And when someone goes to Amazon after clicking on your link, they give you a percentage for that sale. We're actually going to explain this in a lot more detail in module number 3.
All right, number 9, coupon codes.
On a lot of order forms, you see a spot for enter coupon code or promo code or discount code. This is the online version of the coupon. They type in a string of letters and numbers, and the back end of your order form knows to give free shipping or to give 10% off or to add in the free accessory pack.
So you can use these numbers in the promotion. So let's say you offer a promotion for a year's worth of hosting, and you can say in the offer, if you enter this special code on your order form, 1234 will also include free domain hosting for 6 months. So when that order comes in, your fulfillment knows that this person responded to an offer with a coupon code. What benefit does having these codes do for the promoter of a coupon code?
It'll get more people to order, or if it's a time-sensitive thing, like this code expires the end of this month or end of this week, it'll get people to order faster. Another hidden benefit are for you, the promoter, to know which promotions are working well. You look at what coupon codes were used, and the ones that were used the most are the promotions that have been working the best.
Okay, so tracking your promotion, knowing what works and what doesn't. That's a great technique. Let's go to number 10, gifts. How do we use gifts as a guerrilla marketing tactic?
You can give something away free with the purchase, like a free t-shirt, keychain, or some other kind of gift.
And I know from the direct marketing world, especially in the magazine subscription world, many people who order subscriptions to magazines order more for the free calculator or the free tote bag than they do for the subscription. So gifts are a very proven way to increase sales in a promotion. Number 11, incentives.
Use incentives to either get the customer to buy or to get them to buy more. For example, give free shipping or free shipping for orders over $25 or a price break when you buy 10 or more.
All right, guerrilla internet marketing plan. How is this a guerrilla marketing tactic? What is a guerrilla internet marketing plan?
Before you start marketing online, you're going to want to create a guerrilla internet marketing plan. This is just a few sentences stating what action you want someone to take when they land on your site, your prime benefit or competitive advantage, your target audience, the guerrilla internet marketing weapons you'll be using, the niche you have in your marketplace, the traits of your business, and the percentage of your gross revenue that you're going to reinvest into your online marketing campaign.
Okay, that sounds like a mouthful, and for someone new to the internet and new to marketing, it sounds confusing. But with your new consulting firm, you offer this as a service to create an entire guerrilla marketing plan for someone before they start doing their marketing?
Right, on that site, there's a guerrilla internet marketing plan wizard where you just fill out each box and then hit create, and this will print your guerrilla internet marketing plan to the screen.
All right, so give the listeners the URL where they can actually go create their own guerrilla internet marketing plan right now.
And that's at yourmarketingmastermind.com/wizard.html.
Okay, great. That's a great service. Number 13, media contacts. Tell me about this.
You want to build a list of editors' emails, faxes, and or addresses for news sites, online magazines, and even offline magazines and newspapers. When you have a press release, you want to send it to that list. I'll talk about this more in module number 4.
Number 14, clean and easy to navigate site. Some areas of white space. Why is this important to have a clean and easy to navigate website?
Because your website is a reflection of your company. You must have a well-organized, easy to navigate website. Be careful when adding images to your website. Be careful what colors you choose. Everything on your site is either going to add or subtract to your visitors' experience and your conversion rate. This is key to increasing your site's revenue, and I'll talk about this in detail in module number 5.
Okay, let's move on to guerrilla tactic number 15, partial payment plans. What is a partial payment plan, and why is this effective as a guerrilla marketing tactic, Nicholas?
In case someone doesn't have the money to buy right away, you could have a partial payment plan option. Buy now for 4 easy payments of $33.33, billed automatically to your credit card, or no payments for 30 days. In that case, though, you'd want to pre-auth their credit card for the money, and pre-auth means you put a hold on that money so you could charge it to the card at a later date, even if they cancel the card or at their credit limit. A good example of this is if you turn on the Home Shopping Network, you'll see how the experts behind the Home Shopping Network worked out their pricing to give people affordable payment plans. Just by offering payment plans on your products and services can actually double your sales.
All right, so number 16, email signature. What is an email signature?
This is what appears at the bottom automatically whenever you send an email out. Your email client will put a little paragraph about yourself in there.
Is this something that when someone gets email that they have to set up in their options, or is it automatically in there?
You'd have to set it up in your options.
So whatever email you're using, go into your options, and there is a place for your signature. That's what it's called, signature, and it allows you to type what you want on the bottom of your email each time it goes out.
Right, and you should have at least your name, address, phone, and fax in there.
Can someone have multiple signatures and use those if they have multiple businesses?
Yes, you can.
All right, number 17, opportunities to upgrade or upsell. I've heard of these terms, upgrade and upsell. What does that mean for someone online selling a product?
The main example of one is at McDonald's when they say, do you want the combo package or do you want to supersize that? That's a way to get extra money when the customer is already there, ready to purchase. The easiest way to increase revenue is to upsell the customer when they're already at your site ready to purchase. Offer a deluxe model, offer a combo package, or offer a larger size.
Okay, so studies have been done on this. So when someone has made that buying decision, right as they've decided to buy, that's when you ask them to buy more, right?
Right.
So this is the time that most people who have just made a buying decision will buy more, spend more, buy for a longer period of time, and this is an easy way to grow your revenue.
Right.
Okay, perfect. That's powerful. Number 18. Thank you.
Remember to thank the customer for doing business with you, either on the confirmation page of your order form or an email sent after they order. You want to build a good reputation and image for your company.
Okay, number 19, get listed on eOpinions, Frugal, and BizRate. What are these websites, and tell me why this is a good guerrilla marketing tactic for internet marketing.
A lot of people go there to search. eOpinions is for reviews, and Frugal and BizRate are shopping warehouses. They have products from all kinds of different stores there. eOpinions is part of shopping.com, and when you sign up on shopping.com, you'll get listed on both those sites. Once you're on eOpinions.com, you can let your customers know to write a review for you. For Frugal, go to Google.com and then click Information for Sellers. For ShopZilla.com, you can sign up at merchant.shopzilla.com.
eOpinions is part of Shopping.com, so to get on eOpinions, you've got to sign up with Shopping.com?
Right.
In Shopping.com, can anyone sign up?
Yeah, I think it might cost $25 or something. The main reason to get on these sites is because they're listed so high in the search engines. Once you have your products on there or have a review of your company on there, when someone's searching for whatever product you sell, they're going to see your product come up high on the search engines via one of these sites. A couple other sites you want to get listed on are eBay.com. Have your products listed there, not only for people using eBay, but the search engines also pick up those headlines. And also Alexa. When someone writes a review about your company or product at Alexa, these are going to get syndicated on Amazon.com. One more before I forget is Lulu.com. That's a great website for publishing articles, and you'll pick up some great search engine traffic from that.
Okay, number 20, free shipping. Why is free shipping an effective guerrilla internet marketing tactic, Nicholas?
That's because buyers are often scared that the money they're saving by buying online will be lost with high shipping costs, or they're worried that they're too far away and shipping is going to be expensive. You want to definitely at least test free shipping, even if you just have to up the price of your items to cover the cost of shipping. This is number one of the top 10 reasons why someone may be abandoning your site in the final steps, which I will be discussing in module number 5.
All right, this is pretty important because when people decide, well, do I want to buy on the internet or do I want to just go to my Target store or my Walmart and buy locally, the shipping is what sometimes kills the deal because they rationalize in their mind, I can go get in my car, go drive to the store and go pick it up and not have to end up paying more because of free shipping. So by giving free shipping, you eliminate that objection, increasing your chances of sales.
Right.
21. Sitemap. What is a sitemap and why is that important?
A sitemap is a page on your website that just contains a diagram of your website and has links to every page on there. Your site should really be designed so visitors can find what they're looking for without one. However, the main reason to have one is search engine spiders love these. A link to your site from your homepage will allow a spider to find content deep within your site. A sitemap is also preferred over a search box on sites without a huge number of products. Users like to use a search box only if they're frustrated because they can't find what they're looking for. This could be because you have so many products, or it could be because you have poor navigation. Now, search boxes do serve a purpose for large sites. If you have 1,000 different products, you definitely want a search box so someone can search by category, specific name of the item, or part number or model number of the item. A couple things to remember, if you do use a search box, in the event there is no match, display the closest matches and study the list of non-matched words so you know what product to match the term with or what similar product to suggest or what products are in high demand that you might want to stock. Just as a reminder, don't get overwhelmed at some of the things we're talking about in here. They're in here just to use so you could direct your programmer to do so.
So they're not hard to do.
No.
For someone who doesn't know how to do it, it may be hard, but the whole idea is to farm it out to someone who does know how to do it.
Right.
Can we recoup the investment for getting these things done just by the increase in traffic and sales?
Right. The increase in sales and traffic will definitely more than cover the cost that it took to do it.
Okay. Is there an ongoing cost? Like if I was to hire you or your team to develop and create a sitemap for my site, is that a one-time payment I pay to you or do I have to pay an ongoing monthly thing to keep it updated?
The actual creation of it would be a one-time thing. There's always things to tweak and change, though. For example, the list of non-matched keywords, that would be something you'd want to do ongoing.
All right, for time's sake, let's move to Internet Guerrilla Marketing Tactic number 22, Favicon. What is Favicon? I've never heard of this.
A favicon is a little icon that appears in your favorites list and in the address bar of your browser. This is usually your company's logo. This will increase branding and make it easy for customers to find you in his long list of favorites.
Okay, so when you're searching on the internet, now with my new Internet Explorer 7.0, you see the little images right by the HTTP up in the bar?
Right.
Was Internet Explorer 6.0, did that give the ability to show the favicons, do you know?
It didn't have it automatically, but if you went to the link from your favorites menu, it would show it.
So this is pretty new to the internet marketing world, and it's something I responded to right away. It's something I didn't know about with my Internet Explorer 6.0 because I didn't have that as a setting. But when my Internet Explorer automatically updated 7.0, as I was surfing the net, I saw these little images, and I loved them. It's a great little branding tool, the small little picture right by the URL. And I immediately got with my webmaster and created a little light bulb at hardtofindseminars.com, and I love it.
Right, those are really neat. And also in the new Internet Explorer 7.0, in the folder tabs for each website you're viewing, it'll have the favicon on there.
All right, so how much would you guys charge me to do a favicon for, say, some of my other sites, so where anyone who went to my site saw this little icon in the favorites menu, on the folders, and then on the address bar? What would that cost someone? Can you give me a ballpark idea?
That would only be about a one-time fee of $25.
That's it, to create the image and the design and everything?
Right.
That's a good deal. Let's move on to number 23, Nick. We've got automatic recurring purchases. What is automatic recurring purchases, and why are these so powerful for my revenue as an internet marketing business?
These are also known as until further notice items. You'll continue providing the service or continue sending the consumable product on a regular basis until the customer gives you further notice to stop it. If you have a service that needs to be performed regularly, have an automatic subscription for it. for example, if you're a carpet cleaner, offer one price for a one-time clean and offer a lower price if they left their credit card on file with you and you came out for a cleaning once every 6 months. On average, people have their carpet professionally steam cleaned once every 3 years. However, studies have shown for health reasons you should get it cleaned every 6 months. This even works with non-service consumable items. For example, I ordered some cat food on Petco.com the other day, and they have a service where I could save money and have the food automatically sent to me every so often. They let you choose between 1 and 12 weeks between shipments, and it doesn't bill your card until they actually ship it out.
Do you think your business would be where you are today if you had to charge your customers or call them back every month to get them to reorder and to pay their $19 a month for their hosting? Do you think your business would be where it is if you didn't automatically bill their card for your internet hosting service?
No, there's no way we would even last past the first year just for the amount of staff we'd have to increase to try to get a hold of everyone and then the inconvenience it is to the customer. And if you don't have an automatically recurring purchase out there now, you definitely want to get one. It's the difference between making the sale once, making the sale 10, 20, 30 times with the customer. One of the largest infomercial companies on TV, all the stuff they do is until further notice items. There's no way they'd be able to survive without doing that.
Okay, let's go to number 24. FAQs, it stands for Frequently Asked Questions. Tell me what this is and how is it? Internet business should utilize this.
A lot of customers are going to have the same questions. Create a page with the top 10, 15, 20 frequently asked questions and answers.
Okay, and you just put this up on the website?
Right, link it from somewhere on your website. What this does is really works like magic. It's going to free up your staff so you don't have to waste time answering the same questions over and over and over.
Okay, let's go on to number 25. And the final guerrilla internet marketing tip, which is the guarantee.
Clearly state your guarantee. A great competitive advantage is to offer a guarantee longer than the competition does. If they do a 30-day, make yours a 60 or 90-day. If they have a 1-year guarantee, give your product a 3 or 5-year guarantee. Another guarantee is one called risk reversal. This is where not only do you guarantee, but you'll guarantee and give the customer a better than risk-free guarantee. For example, if they cancel, not only will they get their money back, but you'll give them an extra $25 just for trying you out. This concludes our lesson number 1, guerrilla internet marketing weapons. Our next modules are going to cover the secrets behind Google AdWords, how to save money and increase conversions, how to create, run, and maintain a successful affiliate program, money-saving techniques, and an intricate system for finding the best places to have paid ads at, and web analytics, what your web stats are really telling you and how small changes can make big increases to your profits.
All right, so Nick, what are these 11 must-have items that one needs for their website? Let's go through these.
Number 1, you want to put your USP on your homepage. And USP stands for Unique Selling Proposition. It'll advocate the competitive advantage your company has in the marketplace. I'm not sure how much experience you've had with USPs, but a quick example of one is Federal Express. Theirs is when you absolutely, positively need it overnight. When someone lands on your homepage, in just a few seconds, you want them to know what your company does, and the advantage they'll get by doing business with you. The reason this is so important is 65% of your visitors leave the site on either the homepage or the page they go to right after the homepage. You want to be able to lock the visitor in on your homepage, assuring them they're in the right place and they're going to find what they're looking for. For example, if you're a shoe store and I land on your site hoping to find the latest Kenneth Cole model, if you have the logo of different manufacturers, including the Kenneth Cole logo, which I click on, the next page should have the latest Kenneth Cole model showing somewhere on that page.
What's number 2?
Number 2, you want to have your risk reversal stated on your site and make sure it's on your checkout page. Risk reversal is extremely important in business and even more so online than offline.
What is a risk reversal?
You want to take the risk away from the customer, have a guarantee, money back, make it so they know they're not going to be stuck if the product's not what they wanted or the service wasn't what they wanted. Take the risk or concerns out of the buyer's purchase. If you sell clothes or shoes on your site, let the customer know they can exchange them if they're wrong size, and make it easy for them to do so. A lot of sites have a link to obtain an RMA number and a label, so you don't even have to call someone if you wanted to return it. You could do it all online. A lot of people look at risk reversal and say, well, I'm going to get more returns that way. That's true if you look at the total number of returns. However, the amount of increased sales you're going to get by having the risk reversal will more than make up the number of returns you get.
What's number three?
Number three, you want to display the current date, last updated date, or have some kind of dated item on your site. This sends the message to your viewer that your business is going strong and that the site frequently changes, so they know there's someone working regularly and would be able to help them if they ever have a problem, and also so that they should come back often as they know there'll be new products, new specials, or new information.
Now, what was that site with all the scripts that someone could go to and get some HTML to have a date put on their homepage?
That was hotscripts.com.
So we can go to hotscripts.com. Do you know what we would search for, what that date script is called?
Probably in JavaScript, so like a JavaScript date.
Okay. What's number four?
Make it easy for customers and prospective customers to contact you from the site. Have an email address listed, put your physical address for reliability, and you should have a phone number, preferably a toll-free number. And if your site is just like a side business, set up a number just for voicemail. Toll-free and regular numbers for just about every area code are available at low cost from places such as call8.com, and best to put your phone number on every page and especially the order pages.
But should we have an actual email address where they can click on it and email you, or is it better to have a contact page? And I'm thinking about the spam that you get inundated with an email address.
Right. If you have an email address on your page, the spammers, they have spiders that go around and look for those, so you might want to use a contact form instead.
Okay. What's next?
Number five is copywriting. On the web is different than for other mediums. So on the web, people want to read content like someone is speaking directly to them. People don't want to read about how great you and your company are. When writing the text for your website, you want to use the words you and your more frequently than you use I, me, and my, or we and our. General rule of thumb is the number of you and yours on the page should be at least equal to the number of I, me's, my's, we's, and ours. For example, if I sold digital cameras on my website, I would have a section with the headline, how you can choose the right digital camera.
Okay, great. What's number six?
Number six, you want to make a testimonials page. Request testimonials from your customers and place them on your website. It also helps if you pull a quote from their testimonial and place in what's called the Johnson box. The way to do this in HTML is just make a one-cell table and give it a border size of one. Put in just one sentence from the testimonial, make it bold, and put quotes around it. Sometimes I also like to add a background color to the table cell to make it stand out more.
And what's number seven?
You want to send out a regular newsletter. We talked about this a little bit already. You should send out newsletters to your customer database at least once a month. Be careful, though, when doing bulk mailings and have a way for the customer to opt out. You can also make sign up for the newsletter voluntary with the checkbox on your order form or a sign up for our newsletter section on your site.
Okay, number eight.
Put your top selling item or items on your homepage. One author I know that's an expert in his field had the spot to order his book so nested in his site, it took me 20 minutes to find it. Had I not really wanted that book or if there were similar books out there, I probably wouldn't have went through all that trouble. Just to note, since that time, he now has a link to order the book smack dab in the top center of his homepage.
Okay, good advice. Number nine.
You want to have a call to action on every page. When making the page, think about what physical action you want the user to take and make sure it's clear and easy for them to do that. Now, you can have more than one call to action on a page, but remember, the less calls to action, the better. You're also going to want to test your calls to action. Think about what you can change on your page to get more people to take that action. I'm going to go over this in more detail in module number five.
Okay, number 10.
You want to choose appropriate colors. It's important to choose the right colors. For example, red is an attention-grabbing, motivating color. Blue is a calm and safe color. Purple symbolizes creativity. Black represents power, but also death and sadness. And white symbolizes cleanliness. Keep this in mind when choosing the main colors for your site and also the color scheme for your site.
All right, and number 11.
Your core story. You want to develop a core story for your business and have that either on your home page or on an About Us page. The core story is an intention-grabbing blurb about your industry, and it sets the buying criteria for your product or service. You want to give some interesting stats about your industry and tell people what to look for when buying whatever you sell or hiring whatever you do. Since you are writing the buying criteria, you're able to develop your core story in a way that you become the buyer's only logical choice.
Nick, I know one kind of autoresponder. You say there are actually three types, though?
Yes, there are. The first type is like a vacation autoresponder. This is where you send someone an email, and then you get a response back right away saying something like, I'm in Los Angeles on vacation from 27 to 221. Please contact sales at 1-800-555-1111 or customer service at 555-1112 if you need anything during those times. If your customers deal with a dedicated rep and there is a time the rep won't be checking their email for a while, have them set up a vacation autoresponder so the customer knows to contact someone else at the company if they're going to need something before he gets back.
Now, is there one in the control panel on your sites that one can set up?
Right, in the C panel there's a vacation type autoresponder.
Where is it under? What's it under the...
It's under the mail icon.
And is it called a vacation autoresponder?
It's just called autoresponder.
And so whatever I put in there, if I activate it, no matter who emails to me, it would come back to them?
Right.
Okay. And then when you get back, you can undo it.
Yep.
Okay, what's this next kind of autoresponder?
Number two is the denotative autoresponder. This is where the user gets an instant autoresponse. When they send you an email, they get something back saying, thank you for contacting us. A representative will be in touch with you in the next 6 hours. That kind's important, and you should always have one unless your response time is like under 30 minutes. You want to give the user an idea of when he'll hear back from you. If you're selling a car and he has a quick question about it, you don't want him to go to another dealer's website and ask just because he's not sure when or if you're going to get back to him. Another use of this autoresponder is when they fill out a contact form on your website, it'll auto-email them with a ticket number. Then that ticket number is used and stored in a database, and if they were to put a phone call in to your call center, they could mention that number, and your representative could quickly bring up their question.
Okay, and what's a sequential autoresponder?
Number three is the sequential autoresponder. This is the one that all the online marketers know and love. This kind doesn't autorespond, but rather auto-emails. When someone subscribes to your newsletter, they get a chain of letters. Day one might be how to something. Day two could be the 10 mistakes of. This is used to give the customers an education and establish yourself as an expert in your field. Along with the chain of emails, it keeps everyone in a database, so you could bulk email all of them with a newsletter or send them a promotional offer. It's really important that you have this kind of autoresponder, as it's going to serve as a customer database for you.